Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, I can never see that truly, truly I say to you without thinking, verily, verily I say unto you, from the King James Version, because it's the way I think we all learned it. Well, I got a little scenario for you. A husband and wife go to one of those all-you-can-eat buffets, and it's one of those home-style buffets where they set the food in front of you. You ever been to those, especially in Amish country? So what you eat is what's put there. It's not, well, I think I'll have this. No, it's the food's brought out, set down, okay? And the husband looks at his wife and he says, well, I don't know what I want, but it's not this. I don't know what I want, but it's not this. Have we ever had feelings like that before? Yeah, is it more than just food?
Yep.
Well, many times it's leisure activities. You want to go see a movie tonight? Well, what do you want to do? I don't know. Well, then let's go do this. No, I don't want to do that. Sound like typical husband and wife exchanges?
Yeah.
That dream job I thought I wanted. Now, I don't like this. Yeah, but it's what you wanted, isn't it? Even marriages sometimes are more work for people than they ever imagined it would be. You know, they get married, oh, it's great, oh, it's fun. Well, wait a second, we actually got to do some stuff, don't we? Well, how do you know what you want if you don't know what you want? Good question, isn't it? So, should you be happy or should you be disappointed? Well, I would say happy, but half the time we're disappointed, aren't we? We act God's will and purpose in our lives as if it was an endless quest for what we want. Well, let's see, God, what do you want me to do? Oh, I don't want to do that. You know, it's still the same thing. You know, what about changing careers? I was 55 years old, successful college band director, college administrator, and I changed careers. By the time I got done, I was almost 60 years old. Yes, I know I'm getting old, but I don't feel old yet. But however, that was a big chance to take at 55, wasn't it? What if I hadn't liked it? Ooh, especially after going into debt as much as we did. So, is God's will some secret for us that we have to discover? Some people would argue about that. That with God, there's holy secret knowledge. Is God's will for us secret? No, doesn't he put it right out there in front of us all the time? Oh, Lord, what should I do? Please tell me. Have you ever heard people cry like that? Yeah, I am.
Yeah, myself.
God's will is put right in front of us. It's Jesus Christ. Okay? He's the one that was sent down to us. You know, I think just like what we had in our readings today, our readings were really good. By the way, Jerry, those are long, okay? But they're good, okay? And so I want to thank her for that. You know, it's just like the people of old. We hear Jesus say, don't work for the things that do not last, but work for that which endures to eternal life. And just like the old people that said, well, how do we do that? Good question. Okay? But Lord, we have problems. We got mortgages, we got bills, we got jobs, we got household duties, we have earthly responsibilities. How do we work for you? Well, how can we pursue God when we have so many things that are facing us? But isn't that something we all juggle in our lives? I think so. Well, Jesus has an answer for us. Even those are the work of God, aren't they? Well, what do? We believe in the one who God sent to us. Because the Father sent Jesus. If you have seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. So we believe in Jesus because the Father sent him to us. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, was sent to us as our Redeemer. So believe in him. That's what God wants us to do. But again, it's not left to our own devices how we believe, is it? Okay? God sent the Son to us to teach us trust, love, patience, discernment, and to break down that hard shell of doubt and suspicion which sin creates in us. And what's the purpose of that? To lead us to faith. My friends, we cannot, by our own reason or strength, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ or come to him. But the Holy Spirit is called, gathered, and enlightened to us. Sound familiar? Get it right out of the catechism. Is it true? Yep, to both those statements. We can't do it on our own. So how do we believe and trust in the work of God? That's a good question, isn't it? Well, have we ever been disappointed? You ever been disappointed by friends? Ever been disappointed by family? How about politicians?
Never.
Never. Yeah, get the shovel out. It's getting a little deep. Here's what we do in our human nature. It's hard to trust, so Lord, show me. We're from Missouri. It's the show me state. Okay, right? You got to show me. Send me a sign. Well, what about the Israelites? Did they have that sign in the wilderness? Our fathers walked in the wilderness not knowing where they were going, but they had manna as a sign. God was with them and leading them. The bread sent down from heaven. That was in our reading today. So what's our sign today? Where's the manna sent down from heaven? That's right here on the floor. Okay? You know, if you've ever looked at conspiracy theories, I heard this one not too long ago. Manna is actually monatomic gold that was sent down and is gold that was taken through a process, and that's why we could eat it. It's on the, you can even look up monatomic gold and you wouldn't believe what you find. Who cares? God sent it down for us. I don't care what it was made of. You know, is it that important? It was a sign. And it kept these people going. But we want a sign. We want something that's going to drop the risk of our not knowing about what's going to happen to us. We want something that's going to take that journey of uncertainty away from us so we know where we're going. Right? Well, we're back to, haven't we been disappointed by those we trusted? God, trust is hard. Give us that sign. Something solid to hold on to so that our faith is not reduced to a feeling. Did he give us a sign? Jesus Christ. The sign. Hear the capitals in it? It's not a miracle like the Israelites received. But when they received the miracle, what did they do? They complained. Oh, you mean we're going to have spaghetti again tonight? That's the second time this week. You mean we got to have liver and onions? You see what I'm getting at? Complaining. Oh, we'd starve if we didn't have this manna. Oh, you mean we got to eat manna again? Well, that's all right. Don't eat. Go hungry. Boy, if that wasn't told to me when I was a kid, that's what's on the table. You want something else, you're out of luck. Any of you grow up that way too? Oh, yeah. I think we all did. So Christ is our sign. He's that incarnation from the Virgin Mary. His flesh and blood is with us in our world of sin and death. Jesus was willing to suffer in our place. He had that sacrificial death so that we didn't have to die. And by rising to life, he saved us. So, God's done with little signs. He gave us the big sign. Okay. In many ways, in various ways, he spoke to his people of old, but now he has spoken through his Son, right out of Scripture. All right, let me share this with you. Today, we have what is called the Bread of Life Discourse. It's John 6. you want to hear something interesting, go to a seminary sometime and bring up John 6, our reading today. You wouldn't believe the arguments. Paul, that doesn't have anything to do with communion. I am the bread of life. Oh, I think so. I'm one of the positive ones. There's a lot of people that are negative ones. But folks, John 6 says, I am the bread of life. And if you notice, it ended up also, it will also take care of the thirst. It's the water that will take care of your eternal thirst. Folks, that's why in our church we really just have two sacraments, the holy things, baptism and the Lord's Supper. They're the important ones, aren't they? Because it's what Jesus did for us. The one sign, the one person who is there. And when he establishes the Lord's Supper in Matthew, isn't it a blessing for all of us? I think so. And I think that's what's important. You know, when I was at the Christ Lutheran in Cincinnati, we had a preschool. And so we had a chapel, and I always go into. And three-year-olds were cute. You know, they come into their chapel. You know. I said, where's God? Okay. I can ask a bunch of adults, where's God? You know, we learned that as kids, and isn't that the first thing that comes to mind? Oh, but that kind of a God is inaccessible to us, isn't it? Well, where is he? I don't know. What's he do for us? I don't know. But God sent his Son to die for us, that whoever believes in him might have eternal life. And so when I see John 6, it's an affirmation of what Jesus did to us and what's important in our lives, that God sent the sign to us. You know, all that was required of us is that we repent and be saved, right? What does repent actually mean?
Okay.
180-degree turn. All right, think about this for a second. The work's already been done on the cross, right?
Yep.
Okay. So what is required of us? Yeah, and to repent. Believing, remembering is to repent. Think about that for a second. You're focusing on what Jesus did for us. All right, one of the things that's been told me, I want you to tell us what we need to do, Pastor. And I'm telling you, repent to be saved. Think about what Jesus did for you. Remember what he did on the cross for you. And what a blessing that really is. You know, there was a part of scripture where Philip tells Jesus, Lord, give us this bread always. Can't we add our voices to that too? I think so. May this bread of life and the living waters of baptism keep you in your baptismal grace today, tomorrow, and always. Amen.